You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith, but today is a special edition of Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. Here on Relevant Radio, 820 a.m. in Chicago. Time is 9 a.m. on this beautiful, beautiful first Monday of fall for 2007. Our phone number, 312-751-1979. 312-751-1979 on the special edition of Catholic Schools Today. And co-hosting, back by popular demand, Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich, the superintendent of Catholic schools for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning. It's good to be back.
And did you catch the Bear game last night?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yes, wow is probably the best descriptor.
Wow. I mean, I'm usually a man of many words, but that was... Well, it was a beautiful night.
Yes.
enjoyed the weather. And we have a wonderful host of guests this morning. The first thing we have with us is Sue Bordonero, Legislative Action Consultant and Family and School Association Consultant for the Office of Catholic Schools, and Dr. Michelle Jenkins, the Director of Staff Development for the Office of Catholic Schools in the Archdiocese. Sue and Michelle, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Did you also both see the Bears game last night?
Yes. I didn't last night.
You didn't miss anything. Well, hey, the Cubs' magic number is four.
Four.
And I'm a Sox fan, but hey, I cheer for the Cubs. They're Chicago. But now, speaking of something big happening, beside the Cubs clinching this week, is we have this Saturday, the Archdiocese of Chicago with Catholic Schools having Strengthening Catholic Schools Conference, which is Saturday, September 29th. From 8:30 in the morning till 12:15 at St. Ignatius College Prep at 1076 West Roosevelt Road here in Chicago. And maybe either for Sue or Michelle, you are coordinating this year's event again. What is it? When did it begin? And why?
It began so many years ago, Greg, that I can't exactly remember, but I want to say maybe 23. It had a different name. It was called Partners in Education.
Originally, then, when did it become Strengthening Catholic Schools?
4 years ago.
4 years ago, okay.
4 years ago, yeah.
And the thing is, and why did it begin 23 years ago? What is the whole purpose of the conference?
Okay. This is a conference in which we bring together the parents, the guardians, the volunteers in our school, along with other leadership, principals, pastors, but basically our focus is those wonderful people that volunteer in our school, the school board members, family and school association members, what we call legislative action people, LAPs, and anybody that's working on financial or promotional things for the school.
Yeah, this is a conference for those who partner with us in our educational mission. So we do involve the parents, the board members, the people who do work in our volunteer with parents associations. These are the people, you know, Tony Bright used to talk about in his research, the social capital that strengthens the Catholic school. Well, these are the people who represent the social capital. They're the people out in the community that support what's going on in the Catholic school.
Well, the thing is now, Michelle, what is the main thrust? I know that Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich is the keynote speaker
for
this Saturday conference, but what is the goal? You have all these different groups of people. You have parents, you have volunteers, you have school advisory members, you have principals, pastors. Okay, you have all these people together. What is the goal or the outcome you hope to achieve?
The goal is that we wish to help educate those persons who give so tirelessly to our schools, and we want to take the people who work in our office who have some of the knowledge base and work with a variety of schools and help them share their knowledge with the parents and those people who work in our schools. So it's an opportunity for the parents to come in, garner some knowledge, network with other people who do the same kinds of things that they do in their school, in various other schools, and really learn a little bit more about the mission and the purpose of our Catholic schools and be considered a partner in that educational mission.
Now, which means I presume from the morning you're talking about different sessions, small groups. What are some of the topics and who are some of the speakers?
We're talking about a variety of sessions, those that are geared towards school board members, those that are geared to people who are working in marketing for their school, those, as Sue mentioned, that are working in legislative action areas, those who work in family school, budgeting, finance, all of those various roles that our wonderful parents take on as part of their mission in Catholic schools.
You know, Greg, we have talked a great deal around this table about stewardship, and this is a tremendous opportunity for our parents to practice stewardship. Not necessarily about the money part of it, because stewardship, as you so well know, involves time, talent, and treasure. But this is a great place for parents to give of their time and their talent so that our schools can benefit from all that.
And about how many people are expected to attend the Saturday conference?
About 400.
Okay, about 400. And the thing is now, one thing, and maybe Nick, you can help with this, or, you know, Sue, Michelle. First of all, our number here is 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979 on Catholic Schools Today. Questions you may have regarding Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, any question you may have wanted to ask, or about the conference on Saturday. Sometimes I think people misunderstand the role of a Catholic school board, because I know at St. Mary of the Woods, we have changed the name from school board to school advisory committee, because I think there's sometimes this understanding of a school board that it's a legislative body, like would be, let's say, for the public school system in Chicago area, but somehow I think sometimes people misconstrue what are the limits of a school advisory. I don't so much say the do's and the don'ts, but somehow if there's a misperception, then people can sometimes get off in the wrong direction. So it's part of Saturday for people involved with school advisory committees to really learn what does it mean to be part of that?
Well, I'm sure that both Michelle and Sue are saying, boy, I hope Nick answers that. Because certainly there are two types of boards that we have in our schools. One is the advisory board that you're talking about, Father Greg. The other one is what we call the boards of specified jurisdiction. And those boards are boards that take on more of a responsibility for the governance of the schools. Still always under the guidance of the pastor, but the board of specified jurisdiction, the pastor says to the board members, I need your help in these areas, so you have the responsibility for helping us finance the schools, market the schools, for the building and grounds and things of that nature. And that's where a lot of parents can get really involved to help in some very, very meaningful ways. Now, we always have to have board members who are not going to be, they have to understand their role, which is not the day-to-day administration. They have to be concerned about the big picture items. You know, how are we going to finance the school over the next 5 years? What are the strategic plans for this school over the next 5-7 years? Not why did Susie get a B or an A or a D or whatever the case may be in a particular classroom. That's not what they get involved with.
Well, things on with the gathering this weekend, Sue, what are the most commonly asked questions that sometimes you are asked? I'm not talking about during the session, but some of the best discussions happen during the coffee break, before the meeting, as people are leaving, and some of the times are your best questions or reflecting upon what they've learned. What are the most commonly asked questions that you receive from parents, from school board members, from principals, from pastors? What sometimes, like, you almost wish you could stand up and say, folks, please hear what I'm about to say regarding this or that.
Okay, the role of specific roles that the parents play are questioned fairly often. What does a family school association do? What is the role of this LAP, the legislative action person? This new boards of specified jurisdiction, there are many questions about that. So basically the questions are around the roles that parents, guardians, and I'm very clear on the fact that they're guardians too, because we have a lot of grandparents, aunts and uncles doing that, not just parents. how can they act to best support the partnership in education?
We're going to take a break here on Catholic School today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, and our guests are Sue Bordenero and Dr. Michelle Jenkins. Stay with us. Our number is 312-751-1979. We'll be back after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Celebrate our Catholic faith in the land down under. Pope Benedict XVI is calling young people from around the world to join him in July 2008 for World Youth Day in Sydney, Australia.
This vibrant celebration features popular Catholic musicians, catechesis by our bishops, including our own Cardinal Francis George, and an overnight vigil mass with the Pope.
Call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry for details on this once-in-a-lifetime spiritual journey.
The number is 773-388-8674. That number again, 773-388-8674. Join 1 million young Catholics in this global expression of Catholic faith.
Hope to see you in Sydney next July.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty and make Chicagoland a better place to live.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe, off the streets, and help them succeed in school.
Thanks to our efforts, the EPA is cleaning up industrial pollution that is threatening residents in scores of homes in Little Village.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
We teach homeless women a useful craft, pay them a living wage, and offer them transitional housing if needed.
Those are just a few examples of the wonderful work being done by the more than 20 local organizations funded by the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development. Let's break the cycle of poverty and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich. And our guests are Sue Bordenero, the Legislative Action Consultant and Family and School Association Consultant for the Office of Catholic Schools, and Dr. Michelle Jenkins, Director of Staff Development for the Office of Catholic Schools. Our number is 312-751-1979.
Sue, I was wondering if maybe you could help the listening audience understand the role of the parents and others who are going to be coming and attending this conference in the legislative action that we have going on throughout the state, in terms of what our agenda is, what we were able to accomplish, what other kinds of assistance we might need from all these people who are attending, but also throughout the schools.
Okay, Dr. Nick, you know that we don't have a lot of money to give legislators, so our main ability to influence is in our people power. Mm-hmm. So we always need people to respond to the calls that we get from the Catholic Conference of Illinois to support legislation, to disagree with legislation, to contact their legislators, and that's the role of these legislative action persons in the schools. And we have one or two in a good number of our schools. We have not been as successful as we wanted to, but have been successful in some ways.
What have been the last couple of issues, Sue, that you can think of regarding the people power to call, to write? Yeah. What's been successful? And I mentioned, you mentioned a few things not successful, for example. Yeah.
Okay, you know, Greg, what happened in the legislature, that there were vetoes of items, a big chunk of money that was considered pork by the governor, but was not pork. It included some of the things that we were asking for, which would have been increase in transportation and reimbursement for parents. That got knocked down. We still have it to some extent, but it was to be doubled. There's also the textbook loan program that was to be increased, and our tuition tax credit. There was a hope that that would be increased.
Do people underestimate the power of their phone call?
Yes,
or their
believe
letter?
They do. What
difference does my phone call make?
Right, I think that's true.
And if people do write and call, in the thousands, that does play an important role.
A major role. We have gotten, like, for instance, the tuition tax credit in the late 90s. The only way we got it through was we got so many letters down to Springfield that they were piled on tables and nobody had time to count them. So, yes.
We have meetings with legislators various times, and they emphasize over and over the power of a handwritten note to a legislator saying, we are for this, please vote for whatever the program is. It means an awful lot to them. And to thank them for whatever they do accomplish is also another important thing.
So it's when something does happen, a little thank you note, because the power of a thank you. We live in a society where people are forgetting the importance of a thank you.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, now, Sue, regarding the conference, or Michelle's conference on Saturday, what is a phone number? What is a web page? And again, what are some more of the workshops to entice people to come Saturday over at St. Ignatius College Prep, 1076 West Roosevelt Road, Chicago? But what is a phone number they can call?
Well, we really are encouraging people to come. A phone number for assistance would be 312-751-5244.
The number once again?
751-5244.
And a website?
And we encourage people to visit the website, which is www.archchicago.org. If you click on schools, you will see the registration form and all the information regarding the Strengthening Catholic Schools Conference for this Saturday.
So there is still room to come.
There is room to come. We encourage people to come. We want them to be there. We want them to also realize that they are a part of what they do in their school of a larger system. Schools all throughout the Archdiocese are represented. We have parents that come from all over to attend the conference. And it's really just a real welcome place for them to realize that they are doing something for their school that's part of a larger picture with Catholic schools as a whole.
I think the critical thing to remember about this conference is that, and I think a lot of people out in the listening audience remember, that in the 1960s and prior, we had so many religious operating our schools, the sisters. And I always say over and over again that we'll never be able to thank them enough for their time and talent that they gave to make sure that we had Catholic schools. That picture has changed dramatically. In 1960s, we had 96% of our people operating our schools, teachers and administrators, who were religious. Now we have 96% who are lay. So the responsibility for making sure that Catholic schools are available to future generations really lie with us, the lay people, as we work with pastors, certainly, but as we try to support these schools. We are the ones who are going to have to give all of our time, talent, and, yes, treasure as we go down this
road. Nick, let me get that number straight again. In the 1960s, 96% of Catholic schools in the Archdiocese was religious-run, operated teachers, and today it's 96% laity?
Yes. 96% of the people in the 1960s and prior were religious staffing our schools. Now it's the complete
opposite. And that's a matter of under 50 years.
Yes.
But, Greg, there's no the fact that in 1960, or the first time that the bishops, the Pope, the documents from Vatican II said that parents were the primary religious educators and the primary educators of their parents. So that's not an accident. It sort of happened together.
But you still have the mentality of some people, because it comes from that generation, well, if I send my child to
that's
a Catholic
right.
school, you teach my
that's,
kid religion.
Yes.
That's right. Now, the point is, with that, those kinds of statistics would be that that is why we have this kind of conference, to help parents help us do the job.
Right.
And that, I think it's so important. Again, it's going to be this Saturday, September 29th, 8:30 in the morning till 12:15 at St. Ignatius College Prep, 1076 West Roosevelt Road in Chicago. And, Michelle, again, that phone number.
The phone number is 312-751-5244.
And, again, who would be the target audience? Who are we inviting?
We are inviting parents who take leadership roles and contributory roles in their schools in various ways.
And, again, what are some of the other conferences that are being offered on Saturday, topics and maybe even presenters?
Well, one of the more important, Michelle, if I can just jump in here, is the whole idea of the role of the board in the Catholic identity of the school. As the sisters, again, migrated out of the schools for a lot of different reasons, and we, the lay people, came in, one of the concerns we have to have always is the mission still there? And so we have to, certainly from the administrator's point of view as well as teachers, be prepared to pass that faith along, because that's the only reason we have Catholic schools, is to pass our faith along. But the board has to support that mission, so they have to be well-formed in our faith so that they can help us do this mission. So we have a workshop just designed for that idea, to help parents understand what the Catholic identity is, what the mission is, so they can help support it.
I think that Catholic identity is so important. Because
it's number one.
We're talking about, in a Catholic school, faith-based education.
Absolutely.
So, for example, at St. Mary of the Woods, if someone were to say, well, you're like every other school, well, then we should shut down.
Absolutely.
We better be different.
The only reason,
better be different.
The only reason we built Catholic schools was to pass on the faith, not to teach math, not to teach science. We do that wonderfully. We do it extremely well. But the main reason we built Catholic schools is to pass on our faith, and we have to keep that center.
And the word catechesis means to echo, resound. I want to thank, in a very special way, as we bring to this segment a close, thank you to Sue Bordenero, Legislative Action Consultant and Family and School Association Consultant for the Office of Catholic Schools, and Dr. Michelle Jenkins, the Director of Staff Development for the Archdiocese of the Office of Catholic Schools. Michelle and Sue, thank you very much
for being here with us. Thank you, Father Greg.
Dr. Nick will continue, and we'll be back after a break. Do not touch that dial.
Do you feel like love and relationships can be confusing?
Stressful?
Overwhelming? Do you feel like you don't know where to turn for direction?
Then come hear Jason Everett at the third annual Life Night Rally on Sunday, September 30th at 5 p.m. at Our Lady of the Wayside Parish in Arlington Heights.
Jason travels the country talking to thousands of teens about how chastity brings freedom to our relationships.
Not only will you hear Jason's talk, but there will be cool music provided by Rob Kazmark of Spirit Juice Studios and free food and giveaways.
Sponsored by the Chastity Education Initiative and the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry. For more information or to register, please call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. That's 312-751-5355.
So come hear Jason Everett speak at the Life Night Rally on Sunday, September 30th at 5 p.m. at Our Lady of the Wayside Parish in Arlington Heights, because
we deserve pure love.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1. And Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
And welcome back to Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackus, along with co-host Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. Questions you may have regarding Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago, but always we're afraid to ask. Please give a call today on this beautiful, beautiful Monday morning in Chicago. The high is supposed to be close to 90. Time is coming up on 9:24. For our second segment, we have in studio live Michael Hughes, the principal of Our Lady of Guadalupe School in Chicago. Mike, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thanks for having me here.
And Mike, where is Our Lady of Guadalupe located?
Our Lady of Guadalupe School is located at 9050 9050 South Burley Avenue. We're almost in Lake Michigan. We're on the southeast corner of Chicago.
And what year did that school open?
It opened in 1947, so 60 years ago.
Yes. Nick, you weren't even born then.
Yes, I was. Sorry to say, yes, I was.
Oh, well, looks can be deceiving. And Our Lady of Guadalupe School, Mike, you've seen improving test scores over the past few years, increased number of staff development and school days, as well as large renovations to the school building. We're also going to connect that with Hispanic Heritage Month, what's happening. So tell us about the improving test scores.
It's quite a remarkable setting that we're in. I actually have one of the more veteran staffs in the city. They work very hard at what they do, but they've also taken on the challenge of getting better at what they do. You can see, the folks at home can't see, but I have a lot of gray hair. So I was a teacher for a long time. And sometimes teachers resist growth. They have their own way to do things. But this particular staff has engaged in professional growth activities. They work hard staying on top of all the materials that they need for their different subject areas. We have also, in the last couple years, extended the amount of time we allow for our teachers to operate on professional growth, or what we call institute days. So we build more into the calendar than many other schools.
That's very important. You know, there's a number of things that we can point to that talks about how schools really do improve. And one of them is through staff development. Our teachers and our principals, all of us, have to continue in our education so that we are on the cutting edge. And I'm very happy to see that Mike has led Our Lady of Guadalupe in that direction. And I threw out a challenge, because in Genesis we say two things. We want to increase the number of days, staff development days, and he has. And also we wanted to increase the number of instructional days for kids, and he has. And so we're encouraging our schools to increase that, because in Illinois, the number of days for the instructional year is 176, whereas the average around the globe is 200. So we have to, if we're going to compete globally, economically, we have to give our kids a better chance. So part of that answer is certainly a better curriculum, which we have, but also more time, instructional time. And Michael has led his staff in that direction.
Nick, you talked about a word, Genesis. Of course, Genesis, the first book in the Bible. But again,
it's our first book, too.
Okay, here I am. Now, what is Genesis? I want to say, geez, what is Dr. Nick talking about? What is Genesis?
Sure. Well, Genesis is our strategic plan for the future of Catholic schools. It's Genesis, a new beginning for Catholic schools. And it categorizes as, or sets forth, our mission, our goals over the next 5-7 years in three different areas. Catholic identity, as we talked about at the earlier segment, also academic excellence, and also the third being financial viability. And I'm very happy to say that Mike has led his staff in all three of those areas over the past couple of years.
You know, Mike, you mentioned earlier that sometimes we can be creatures of habit. One of the best lines I ever heard is that change is inevitable, but growth is optional. In life, change is inevitable, but growth is optional. And so, you know, we tend to be creatures of habit. So, for example, none of us would think about going to a lawyer who last read a journal in 1980, or go to a doctor with your child who last opened up a book in 1990, and they tell me I know very little about computers and the whole area of technology. But as a book is written, it's already outdated. So I think the importance of staying updated in staff development, the worst thing we can do is say, I know it all, there's nothing more to learn. How did you get your staff, your faculty, to be open to change on this level?
I wish I had the answer of how I was able to. I think it's the core group of people were looking for a direction when I got there. And so I have encouraged each of them individually to take classes at the university level. And each has enrolled in and taken a graduate development class. I'm not sure if the motivation is twofold. They really want to see what they can do better than what they've done before, and then they share with each other when they attend one of these classes. Example, I had four teachers this summer through a really neat program from Big Shoulders, work at the Museum of Science and Industry for a week, went in, and our science scores weren't the best part of our curriculum. Our math scores were pretty good, and our English scores, reading was pretty good, so we're trying to emphasize science a bit. And our people went in, had fun, enjoyed it, came back with new ideas, came back with requests for their principal for more materials and supplies related to science, which fortunately I was able to take care of. So we're moving forward in that area in particular.
Yeah, one of the really important things about staff development is what Mike just mentioned, is that when these teachers go to a staff development program like outside the school, Then they bring that back. They share it with the other teachers. So they have accountability there because they have to be able to explain it. But they also learn it better, and then they are able to share it, like I say, with the other teachers. That benefits the whole staff, even though just one or two or three of them went to the staff development program.
The thing is, before we go on a break, Nick, explain just for briefly, what is Big Shoulders?
Big Shoulders is an independent organization that raises money to support Catholic schools. It's led by Mr. Jim O'Connor, and they have a wonderful board that works tirelessly to raise money just for Catholic schools.
And how much did they raise over the last couple of years?
Well, I don't know about the last. What you could do is multiply, depending on how many years you want to look at it, but somewhere between $6 and $10 million a year they give to Catholic schools.
Wow.
$2 million in operating grants and $4 or $5 million in scholarships, and then they have a patron program, which is where a person or company adopts, so to speak, a school, and they guarantee $100,000 a year for the next 3 years.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today on Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, along with co-host Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, and our guest is Michael Hughes, principal of Our Lady of Guadalupe School. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. Time is 9:30 in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back after a couple of messages.
October is Respect Life Month, when the Church celebrates the sanctity of all human life from conception until natural death. During this month, we highlight the mission of love that Jesus entrusted to his followers, to bring the pro-life message of the gospel of life to all people, that they might know that every human being is a precious gift, made in God's image and likeness, to be cherished and protected by all. Join us on Saturday, October 6th at 6:45 p.m. at St. John Fisher Parish in Chicago for the Archdiocesan Celebration of Life Mass with His Eminence Francis Cardinal George and Bishop Gustavo Garcia Sierra. A reception will follow and all are welcome. For more information, call the Respect Life office at 312-751-5355. We hope to see you Saturday, October 6th at 6:45 p.m. at St. John Fisher Parish on Chicago's South Side as we celebrate the gift of life.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 820 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to the special edition of Catholic Community of Faith of Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sackowitz, pastor of St. Mary of the Woods on Chicago's Northwest Side. And with us is Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, the superintendent of Catholic Schools, the Archdiocese of Chicago. And our special guest this 20-minute segment is Michael Hughes, principal of Our Lady of Guadalupe School in Chicago. Our phone number, 312-751-1979. You may have a question regarding Catholic schools in the Archdiocese of Chicago. Nick, you have the floor.
Well, I think that it was interesting to hear Mike's responses to a couple parts of the Genesis program in terms of what Our Lady Guadalupe has responded, how they have responded to, like, the Catholic identity part of Genesis as well as the academic excellence. But they've also done some very significant things under the third part of Genesis, our strategic plan, and that is the financial viability. And there's been a lot of help for us to provide the types of resources that Our Lady of Guadalupe has needed in order to survive and thrive. And I think it would be very important for us to recognize and to talk a little bit about that. So, Mike, could you give us a little background of that?
very fortunately, Father Maloney drafted me for this position 3 years ago. And one of the problems that was ongoing was tuition collection. And during my first year, we struggled a bit with that. But I don't know how you'd say it. I'm probably a pig-headed Irishman that thought that certain things have to be done certain ways. So over time, the first year and then the second year, we moved to the idea that this is very important and not optional to pay tuition. We try to create scholarship monies to help people, and we're very fortunate to do that. Tuition at our school, all Catholic schools, is over $3,000. So in an inner-city school, that's a challenge. But we try to sit down with parents and see if $500 or $700 will help them, but then they must make a commitment to the other portion.
Well, let me ask you this, Mike. If tuition is over $3,000 per child, what is the subsidy from the parish for the school? About what's the percentage?
We're only charging 75% of what it costs.
Okay.
To raise. So the parish is a very large subsidy.
Which means that it's a typical parish, which is really the parish is assisting with the subsidy for the school.
Correct.
Because if an individual family had to pay 100%
it would
tuition,
be over $5,000.
Over $5,000.
And the, why don't you name the types of groups? Besides the Archdiocese of Chicago, we give you operating grants.
Right.
But also there are other organizations.
Other organizations that help us stay afloat. The Big Shoulders Fund of Chicago, which we mentioned in the last segment, a great group of people that want to see Catholic schools survive. They help us with scholarship money. The Order of the Claretians, which sponsor the school separately, give us dollars to help families pay tuition. Okay, so the pool of money comes in, and then I administer that to the parish itself. And then the first year I was there, a couple of our fundraising activities for the school were designed particularly to help families with tuition. So we run a dinner dance, make $7,000. We don't do anything in particular other than maybe help 14 or 15 families with $500 each. So
which is
we do
tremendous.
A lot of different things to try to make it more reasonable or affordable for a certain group of people. We have over 85% of our children, families that qualify for free or reduced lunches. So we're not a real wealthy community. Wealth in terms of money, it's tough on the southeast side.
What's the school population?
We have 90% Hispanic, Our Lady of Guadalupe, 10% African American, and the total enrollment today is 184. That's up from 175 last year.
From last year. And the thing is now, you mentioned, or Dr. Nick mentioned that beside the tuition part of it, you're also doing some renovation regarding school building, and what is happening there?
In this past year, past 16 months, we've done things like put in the new doors in the front and the back, new security cameras, which are needed in today's world, put in facilities like water fountains. When I arrived a couple years ago, we didn't have a working water fountain. I now have four.
Wow.
So I'm quantum leap.
Sometimes we take that for granted.
Yeah. I mean, just some little things. And then this past week, actually Saturday, we finished the seal on the basement project. I'm calling it the student center right now. And that student center will be open. We'll have some presentation later. But that entire project was over $500,000.
Now, just in the last couple of minutes, tell us something about, you know, this here between September 15th and October 15th is Hispanic Heritage Month. What specifically is happening at Our Lady of Guadalupe School?
Okay, we had a special dress day for the celebration of Mexican independence last Friday, and 85% to 90% of our kids participated as an optional thing. We also have at Our Lady of Guadalupe a tremendous dance troupe, folkloric dancers. Edelmira Huerta is my dance teacher. She has over 50 kids that are involved with dance and will travel around as a touring group. She may take 12 or 15 to different performances to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month. Also, we have, because part of our community history is sharing, we have a food drive we just started last Friday that will culminate a week from Sunday to help the poorer people.
I think it would be interesting to relate why Our Lady of Guadalupe is a national shrine. That started way back in the, you know, 40, 50 years ago, too.
Right. At the corner of our church and at Our Lady Guadalupe Church is the Shrine of St. Jude. And now that's a national shrine. St. Jude is very powerful patron of lost causes. And many a prayer has been said to St. Jude over time, but it is part of the rich tradition of South Chicago community.
I want to publicly, Greg, thank Mike for the leadership he has brought to Our Lady of Guadalupe in terms of working with people, with the administration, with working with groups to help fund the school. He has done a remarkable job, had a lot of help from a lot of good people, but he led the way, and he did a spectacular job, and I want to thank him very much.
In a relatively short time.
Oh, a couple
of years. Mike has not been there, 25 years.
And in doing all that, the enrollment has increased, which is an even more remarkable thing.
In this day and age.
You're saying to parents, you need to pay, because nothing will sink a Catholic school sooner than parents not paying. So he knew that, and he went in there with a kind of leadership that was able to say, pay, but also, we need you here, and the parents were able to own that.
Which means you have parents willing to invest in Catholic schools.
Absolutely.
Especially Our Lady of Guadalupe. Mike, give us a phone number if someone to learn more about Our Lady of Guadalupe, and do you have a website?
Of course we have a
website. Okay, what's the phone number?
But the phone number is 773-768-0999.
Then number once again.
773-768-0999.
And the web?
Website, www.olgschicago.org.
Well, I want to thank in a very special way Michael Hughes, principal of Our Lady of Guadalupe School in Chicago, for being our guest. And as Dr. Nick said, Mike, you're doing a fabulous job, so God bless you, faculty, the students, the whole community. This is Catholic School Today. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, on Relevant Radio, 820 AM in Chicago. Stay with us. We'll be back after a break.
The Catholic Campaign for Human Development helps fund organizations that break the cycle of poverty.
Our organization conducted a summer academic camp on Chicago's South Side to keep kids safe and help them succeed in school.
We teach homeless women a useful craft and pay them a living wage.
We have been fighting to keep a well-respected nursing home open in Lake County.
Please support the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, break the cycle of poverty, and make Chicago and the suburbs a better place to live.
Hi, I'm Chuck Knapp. Join me for Searching the Word, a live interactive program that equips you with a firm understanding of the faith. Each day, we'll search the Bible, the Catechism, papal teaching, and historical writings for answers to questions about living Catholic life. That's Searching the Word every weekday on Relevant Radio.
That's Searching the Word with Chuck Knapp, weekdays at noon on Chicagoland's Relevant Radio, 820 AM.
Do you know what's going on in your church around the corner or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
And welcome back to Catholic School Today. I'm Father Greg Sackett, along with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich. Our phone number, 312-751-1979, here on Relevant Radio, 820 AM Chicago. Time is exactly 9:43 on this gorgeous Monday morning. And joining us in studio for our last segment, we have Father Tim Howe, pastor of St. Procopius Parish in Chicago, along with Adam Dufault, the assistant principal of St. Procopius School. He also teaches 5th and 6th grade. Father Tim and Adam, welcome to Catholic Schools Today.
Thank you. Great to be here.
And for both of you, at St. Procopius School, you've implemented a dual, or it's been for a while, a language between English and Spanish for students. The goal of this program is to achieve bilingual academic proficiency in both English and Spanish. Tim, maybe tell us about the history of that dual program.
Sure. We are located in the Pilsen neighborhood of Chicago and serve Mexican-American community. And so about 10 years ago, the Jesuits, looking at the school as we first came to the parish, thought, how could we even better serve the community? And so we designed a dual language program whereby our students study half the day in English and half the day in Spanish. They come to us, some more Spanish dominant and some more English dominant. But as you say, our goal at the end is to have them at grade level and proficient in both languages.
Now, Tim, you were ordained a priest in 1998.
Right.
A Jesuit. What year did you arrive at St. Procopius?
1999.
And you've been pastor since?
Since 99.
So hold it. You were a priest 1 year and pastor.
Yeah, as they say, never underestimate the manpower shortage.
I like that. That's very good. And Adam, the yes. assistant principal of St. Procopius School, and you also teach 5th and 6th grade. What is your role in this whole dual program?
Well, I teach the English side of 5th and 6th grade, and I have a co-teacher that works with the Spanish side. So in the mornings, I will spend the mornings teaching classes to the 6th graders in English, and then in the afternoon, they switch to Spanish while I go to 5th grade English.
Now, I know our listeners can't see, but Adam, you are incredibly young-looking.
So is father.
Yeah. So just amazing. So the thing is, are you a product of the Archdiocese of Chicago? Were you born and raised in Chicago?
I grew up in the Chicago suburbs. I actually grew up in St. Charles, went to the public grade schools in St. Charles,
sure.
Then
okay.
went to St. Francis High School in Wheaton,
mm-hmm.
and then to Georgetown University.
And you've been over at St. Procopius for how long?
For 6 years. This is year number six.
And how many years as assistant principal?
This is my second.
Oh, your second.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the thing is now, in the work that you do, well, maybe, Nick, I'll give you the floor.
Well, I just think that it would be helpful if you explained what you meant. I see that you talk about a holistic approach to an education, and I think that'd be important to explain what you mean by that holistic and also how you dovetail that with the dual language.
Sure, no problem. Holistic approach to us follows the Jesuit philosophy of education, where we try to educate the whole person, the spiritual side, the athletic side, and the academic side. And we try to provide the best well-rounded education that we can. We have art programs, gym programs at our school. And so we really seek to educate the entire student in all capacities. And the dual language program fits into that because of the culture of the Pilsen neighborhood. We try to educate the students to be bilingual in both English and Spanish, perform at grade level proficiency, where they're able to respect and appreciate the heritage and the culture that they have, and also understand the American culture as well.
I think it's so wonderful that we're able to teach two languages like that. One of the things I mentioned when I spoke to the crowds last September 10th, all the principals, pastors, and presidents, in the largest English-speaking country in the world in a few years is going to be China, and that every graduate of a college in India speaks English.
Wow.
And so, therefore, we need to be dual language. And I think programs like this that foster that are wonderful. I know when I grew up, my parents spoke Ukrainian, but they never nurtured that in me. So I'm a single language person. But to have the ability of a student to be able to speak two languages. And I understand that America, the United States, is going to be the fourth largest Spanish-speaking country in the world. Matter of fact, I think they are right now.
So the United States is the fourth largest
Spanish-speaking country in the world now.
That's incredible. I mean, I come from a background of, mom and dad both Polish, and I remember my mother taught Polish, as a boy would try to teach me Polish. And I was out the door playing football, basketball, baseball, and I really regret that.
Yeah.
In fact, I wish I knew Polish.
Absolutely.
I wish I knew Spanish, because I think the more languages we have, it opens you up to a whole wider world. Now, either for Father Tim or for Adam, I'm assuming this has been incredibly accepted by the faculty who are on board with this whole concept.
Well, that's right. In fact, we have faculty who are Spanish dominant. We have teachers who grew up in Mexico and were trained as teachers in Mexico. And we also have faculty that are English dominant that grew up in the United States and learned to teach here in the United States and kind of everything in between. And so in that way, we're able to foster good language modeling in both languages.
And then maybe along those lines, Tim, what has been the biggest challenge in making this work? Because, we can talk here, and sometimes on paper it's so nice, but in reality, there's a lot of hard work, at times a lot of setbacks. What's been like the biggest challenge to get to this point?
I think the biggest challenge is just to encourage our families to be patient with their kids as they're beginning. So most of our kids come to us dominant in one language or another. And so at the very beginning, they really do struggle in the second language that they're learning. But especially if they come to us young children have an ability to pick up language like we don't anymore as adults. And so if parents and families can be patient with them, very quickly they catch up with their classmates and they're up to speed.
And Adam, you would agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. The best age to learn a second language is when you're young.
Now, do you work directly with parents?
I do at times, sure.
I think it's because I know you have the children, you teach fifth and sixth grade. But again, I think any time a teacher walks into a school or they're hired by a principal, they better have a great understanding that part of teaching will be working with parents.
Absolutely.
We sometimes underestimate that because parents are sacrificing of their time, talent, and treasure to send their son or daughter into a Catholic school, and they want results, and they can put demands, and they should. And so we're going to go to a break here on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sacklitz along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, and our guests are Father Tim Howe, pastor of St. Procopius Parish, and Adam Dufault, assistant principal of St. Procopius. Time is coming up on 9:50 on this beautiful Monday morning on Catholic Schools Today. Stay with us and do not touch that dial.
Want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God's Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552. Or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Welcome to Mission Chicago 2007 as we celebrate the theme of spirituality. Evening missions are taking place throughout the Archdiocese in both English and Spanish. Spirituality themes include the meaning of being created in the image and likeness of God, exploring our potential for growth in Christ, and the spirituality of African-American music and song. These are single evening missions, and there is no cost. Find out when and where by going to www.missionchicago.net. That's www.missionchicago.net. It's Mission Chicago 2007, the year of spirituality. Accept this mission. The rewards are everlasting.
Welcome back to Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sacklitz along with Dr. Nicholas Wilsonovich, the superintendent of Catholic Schools, the Archdiocese of Chicago. The time on this beautiful, gorgeous Monday morning coming up on 9:53. Our phone number is 312-751-1979 and Relevant Radio 820 AM in Chicago.
Well, as we spoke about earlier about the involvement of community, I noticed in your literature you talk about how the community becomes involved in the education at St. Procopius. So I was wondering if you could explain that a little bit, and also whether or not you challenge your parents to become dual language, just like the students. That might help at home.
Absolutely. Language is the key to success in the United States. And so we, the Jesuits, about the time that the school adopted the dual language program, shortly after began what's now called the Poder Learning Center, where over 350 adults come in the evenings and during the day four times a week to study English as a second language. And we also just began a few years ago for English-dominant families Spanish classes that are made available, too, to promote the idea of dual language across the age levels.
So really it's an opportunity to kind of get the children and the parents involved. It's not just the child standing alone, but working as a family.
That's right. And insofar as the parents can become more and more bilingual, they're also that much more helpful with the homework that their students, that their children have.
Well, that's exactly right, because you need that support system at home in order for the students to get the most out of what's being presented in the school. And we always say that same thing about religious education, it's one thing to have your child go to a Catholic school, but if you aren't reinforcing that at home, then that certainly weakens the message tremendously.
I think, Nick, parents truly underestimate that they are primary for the religious development for their child. I think they really truly, I don't say they don't take it seriously, but they underestimate the tremendous role that they play.
I'm not a specialist or expert in canon law, but when you read what canon law says about Catholic school education as it relates to parents and also as it relates to the life of a parish, it is saying some very, very profound things, and that's one of them. And you're right, a lot of parents do not understand their role in education, that they are the primary educators, but also they are the primary religious educators of their children. So when they don't take their kids to church, they are really falling far short of that kind of responsibility.
And what I've said on more than one occasion, if the church, if the faith community where people worship, if it's not important to mom and dad, I promise you it'll never be important to your child. It doesn't happen magically, and somehow, even if they're rooted deeply in the faith, odds are when they go through their teen years, college adults, they question, they want to step away from the whole thing. But great parenting gives deep roots in the soil of the faith, and good parenting gives wings. The kids will have to fly.
That's the same for religious instruction as well as the Spanish. So that's why it's so important that the parents are learning with the children so that they can grow together and they can support each other.
And now, Adam, we saw all the other things you're doing over at St. Procopius, but what's happening next March?
Next March is our annual fundraiser. It's called Adelante, and it's happening on March 6th, which is a Thursday evening. We have done this at the National Museum of Mexican Art, and we'll do that again there this year.
And this is a big fundraiser for
the
school.
That's right.
How much money do you hope to raise?
We raised about $50,000, which goes directly into our scholarship fund, which helps to directly fund.
That's a tremendous evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's right. And we are really committed to raising the money so that we can keep our doors open to any family who wants to offer a high-quality Catholic education in two languages to their children. So we work very hard to raise the money so that money is not an obstacle for families to participate in our school.
And before we close, just briefly, what is happening at St. Procopius regarding Hispanic Heritage Month?
Well, we've had a focus this month on events such as Mexican Independence Day. We participated in the Pilsen Parade on 18th Street with that, and also did a celebration at the school. And we're also preparing for Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, which is a huge celebration in the Mexican culture, which will happen on November 2nd this year. We'll be in another parade down 18th Street on that Friday morning, and also celebrating...
which is the Feast of All Souls Day.
That's correct.
Which is huge in the Hispanic community for them with that celebration. Now, if someone wanted to learn more about St. Procopius School, a phone number and a webpage.
Phone number is 312-421-5135.
That number once again, Adam?
312-421-5135.
And a website.
It's www.stprocopius.com/school. And St. Procopius is spelled STPROCOPIUS.
Very well done, Adam.
I just hope the parents hear that message, and people in general hear that message about the scholarship program at St. Procopius and how much money they raise and how much money they are able to provide for scholarships. If there's one challenge that's facing the Catholic elementary schools in the Archdiocese, and probably across the nation, would be we need to be able to provide a huge, much, much more scholarship assistance for elementary school kids. We do a much better job at the high school level, but we need to do a lot more on the elementary level. So these kinds of activities that Adam and Father Tim are talking about need to be supported, because we need to be able to provide kids
from families who need financial assistance, that kind of assistance.
And on that note, we're going to bring this program to a close on Catholic Schools Today. I'm Father Greg Sachs, along with Dr. Nicholas Wolsonovich. And a special thank you to our guest this last segment, Father Tim Howe, pastor of St. Procopius Parish in Chicago. And also joining us has been Adam Dufault, the assistant principal at St. Procopius School in Chicago. Tim, Adam, thank you very much, and keep up the marvelous work. And a special thank you to our producer this morning, Ryan Blackburn, assisted by Jasmine Kiddos, and our engineer, Michael May, for their outstanding work today. To all of you, God bless, and have a blessed, blessed week.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 820 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.